to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, it's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show from 1950. But first, an episode of My Favorite Husband, a CBS broadcast later released via Armed Forces Radio, the version we'll hear next, from October 14th, 1949.
Series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers, dinner is over. George Cooper is in the living room reading the paper, and out in the kitchen, Liz Cooper is talking to Katie, the maid.
Katie, where's that big glass pie plate we used to have?
What? Oh, it's in the bottom cupboard. Why?
I'm going to try an experiment on George.
No, Mrs. Cooper, don't do it, please. He's too young to die.
Die? What do you think I'm going to do?
You're going to bake a pie for him.
Oh, no, I'm not. Now, don't be silly. I'm going to use the power of suggestion. Oh, here it is. You see, Katie, I want George to buy a television set, but he won't pay any attention to me.
Are you going to hit him with that glass plate?
No. No, I'm going to hold it up in front of my face and pretend I'm a television show. Like this, see?
What kind of a show is that?
It's a wrestling match. Well, how do I look, Katie? Do I look like television?
Well, I don't know. Your face is all wavy and distorted.
Yeah, well, I look like television, all right. I just hope George gets the idea.
Might help if you gave your legs a mahogany finish.
Relax, Katie. Well, I'll go in and see what happens. George?
Yes, dear.
Well?
Yes, dear. You're mumbling, Liz. I can't understand you with that glass plate in front of your face.
It's supposed to be there. Look at me, George. What am I?
A washing machine.
Oh, great. Now I've got a face like dirty laundry. I am not a washing machine. Guess again.
A sailor looking out of a porthole.
No, I'll give you one more chance.
A sailor looking into a porthole.
Oh, you're just being stubborn. Can't you honestly tell what I'm driving at?
I haven't the vaguest idea. And forget it, I'm not going to buy a television set.
You knew it all the time.
Liz, why is it every time you want something, you go into a big routine? Now, wouldn't it be easier to come right out and ask me?
Well, sure, it's easier, but it never gets me any place.
Well, it's not true. I'm a very reasonable man.
Ha!
Now, if you really want a television set, just ask me for it.
George, you mean you really...
You don't have to play games with me, Liz. Just ask me.
All right. George, there's something I'd like to ask you.
Yes, Liz, what is it?
Will you buy me a television set?
No, I won't.
Big fibber.
I am not.
You are, too.
I am not. I just said you should ask for it. I didn't say I'd give it to you.
You're not only a fibber, you're a sneaky fibber.
If I were you, I'd divorce me.
Well, not till we get a television set. I want custody of it. George, we just have to have one.
Give me one good reason.
Well, I'm a social failure because we don't watch television. I never know who won the fights or what Kukla and Fran are doing to Ollie.
Oh, poor little Liz.
Well, it's not funny. I have no idea what's going on in the world.
Well, why don't you try reading the newspaper?
Oh, that's old-fashioned. Television is taking the place of the newspaper.
Oh, it is now. Well, I'd like to see you wrap the garbage in a television set.
That's a pretty soggy answer. What about the entertainment? Oh, what about all the good shows on television?
Well, there's always radio, you know.
Oh, who wants to listen to other people win prizes? Radio's given everything else away. Pretty soon it'll give itself away, and that'll be the end of it.
Oh, Liz, what are you...
George, try to think of me. It's getting embarrassing.
What is?
Every house on the block has an aerial but ours. Our roof looks positively naked.
Oh, honey, I didn't know that. Well, in that case, I'll buy one right away.
A television set?
No, an aerial.
Great, that'll fool everybody. And then before we go out at night, we can peel onions so our eyes will be bloodshot.
Liz, I'm tired of hearing about this. I don't want to hear the word television in this house again.
Television.
Liz?
I just wanted to see what would happen.
All right, now let's forget it.
Just one more thing. If you won't buy me the... naughty word. Will you bring me home an apple box?
An apple box? Mm-hmm. What for?
Well, if I have to watch it through a store window, I'd at least like something to sit on.
That's enough, Liz.
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Liz, girl.
Oh, hello, Iris.
Well, what's the matter, girl? You sound low.
Oh, I begged George to buy us a television set, and he said no.
Oh, too bad, girl.
George doesn't believe in these modern inventions. It wouldn't surprise me if he came home tonight driving a covered wagon.
Oh, he just doesn't know what he's missing. Our new set came yesterday. Ooh, is it good? I did my knitting last night with Edwin. I had breakfast this morning with Tex and Jinx. And this afternoon, I took a bath with Hopalong Cassidy.
To you, Iris. I guess old stick-in-the-mud will never buy a set.
Maybe he needs convincing, Liz. There's a football game on tonight. Get him to come over to the house on some pretext. Maybe he'll like it.
You mean trick him into watching television?
Uh-oh.
Oh, Iris, what kind of a low-down stunt is that? What kind of a person do you think I am? What time should we be there?
8:30.
We'll be there.
Good girl, girl.
Are you sure the Atterburys asked us to come over tonight?
I'm positive. Why?
I don't think they're home.
Certainly they're home. See, all the lights are out.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, ring the doorbell and you'll see.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
You must be the Coopers. I'm Joe Beckett, their neighbor. Oh, you should have been here a few minutes ago. What a brawl. They were gouging each other's eyes out.
Mr. and Ms. Atterbury?
No, the terrible Turk and gorgeous George.
Oh, well, come on, George. Let's go in.
Oh, say, let me give you a tip. Don't sit in back of Mrs. Atterbury. You can't see a thing. It's only a 10-inch screen.
Oh, well, that explains it. She's got a 16-inch neck.
Green? Liz?
Come on, George. They're waiting for us.
Oh, if you get tired of what the Atterbury show, come over to the Schraders. They always tune in pantomime quiz. And besides, they serve sandwiches. And if you like beer, the Andersons always have it, but you have to watch Western movies.
So this is why we're here. Television. Still boring from within.
Well, I thought as long as the evening was going to be boring, it might as well be from within.
Liz, girl, George boy.
Hi.
Hi, Iris. Who was that that just left? Bugs Bunny?
No, that's Pink Eye Beckett. The neighborhood TVM.
TVM?
Uh-huh. Television moocher.
Oh.
He does nothing but go from one house to another and watch television. Well, come on in.
No, Iris, we aren't staying.
Oh, George.
Sorry, Liz. I said I'm not interested in television, and I have a one-track mind.
Oh, too bad. And the football game is just about to start.
Football game?
Train now backing up on track one.
Well, we could see how bad it looks.
Yeah, let's see how bad it looks. Come on, Rudolph's in the living room.
There's a great crowd here tonight, folks. And the teams are just coming out on the field.
The
Coopers are here, Rudolph.
Hello, Liz boy, George girl.
What? Rudolph, you could at least take your eyes off the screen and say hello.
I don't want to miss this kickoff. Sit down, folks.
Well, you sit there, George, and I'll sit here. And, Liz, you sit in back of me.
No, thanks, Iris. I'll sit here on the arm of George's chair.
Well, folks, the band has left the field, and we're ready for the kickoff.
Oh, Liz, you still have your coat on. Oh. Let me take it.
All right, Iris.
Oh, that kick is caught by McQuillan of
State
Blue.
Here you are, Iris.
He's up to the 40, the 50. It looks like he's
going
to get away.
Well, I can't see the coat. Oh, here it is.
He's down to the 15, the 10, the 5, and he's
Isn't it wonderful, George? Wasn't that great, Mr. Atterbury?
I didn't see it. Your coat was over my head.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. The game will be full of 95-yard run backs for touchdowns.
Oh, well, that's good. Then I don't feel so bad.
You...
George, pretty good, huh? We can still buy a set tonight, you know. Trimble's are open till 9.
Now the teams are lining up again.
Did you turn it off, Rudolph?
Yes. I'm not turning it on until everyone quiets down and stays that way.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I wouldn't think of opening my mouth.
Keep quiet, George.
I won't say a word.
You can turn it on again now, Mr. Atterbury.
Well, that's better.
Oh, I missed another one.
While they're lining up, would anyone like a sandwich?
No, thanks, Iris.
None for me, thanks.
No.
I might be persuaded.
Mr. Beckett?
Yes, I came back. The Schraders blew a tube.
Possible. Our sponsor.
Hey, what happened? There's no picture.
Now, pay attention, friend.
The sound's still on, but there's no picture on the screen.
Hey, this gives me an idea for a great new invention. We'll call it radio.
All right, George.
In television, we don't have to tell you what our product does. You can see it for yourself.
There's nothing on the screen, you fool. What are you selling, fog?
Well, we can tell what it is by listening.
You see this can I have in my hand? Never forget that name on the label.
Make a note of that, Liz.
Never mind. I think I've seen this ad before. He's talking about motor oil.
Mm. Serve it at your next party. It's delicious. Or ice cream.
Duh.
Sort of a motor oil sundae, eh, Liz?
Yeah. They're great. You take one every 1,000 miles.
Well, Liz's plan to get George interested in television has blown a fuse. Right now, Liz is on her way downtown to drown her sorrows by buying a new hat. She walks along Sheridan Boulevard, and as she passes Trimble's appliance store, her footsteps falter, and she stops, fascinated, to watch the television sets in the window. An elderly gentleman, who also happens to be looking in the window, addresses her.
Television is certainly wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it's wonderful.
What kind of a set do you have?
Crystal.
No television? Well, how'd that happen?
Well, my husband doesn't want to give up his stereoptic and slides.
Oh, that's a humdinger. Now, you ought to go inside and talk to Mr. Trimble about a set.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Oh, he's really a peach of a fella. Fair and honest. Go on in.
Well, you don't understand. Just the word television makes George sick.
But he'll send it out on trial for a week, and it's absolutely free.
Free?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I think that's the word that'll make George well again.
Hey, go on in and talk to Mr. Trimble about it.
Well, all right.
I'll go in with you.
Oh, are you going to get a set?
No, I'm Mr. Trimble.
You certainly got me into your parlor, Mr. Spider.
Trimble.
Oh.
You see, I can't afford a neon sign. I have to do it myself.
That's very interesting. Do you light up at night?
No, but that's a wonderful idea. Now, what kind of a set do you want me to send out for a 3 weeks trial? 10-inch, 12-inch, 16-inch, 19-inch?
Is that the biggest?
No, but you wouldn't like the next size. It takes up a whole side of the house and you have to watch it from a block away.
What do you call it, a drive-in?
No, I was kidding. It was a little joke.
Oh, it certainly was. Well, this set looks nice.
Oh, yeah, that's the very latest. See the tag?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Combination television, radio with FM, AM, and shortwave. Phonograph with automatic record changer that plays 10-inch, 12-inch, long play, short play, acetate, vinylite, classical, popular, and also player piano rolls. Well, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There's only one trouble.
What's that?
We can't find out where to turn it on.
Is that another of your little jokes?
Yes.
They get smaller all the time, don't they?
Well, why don't you leave it to me? I'll send you out a nice set.
Well, all right. Send it to Mrs. George Cooper, 321 Bundy Drive.
Yes, ma'am.
About 8 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
And be sure and send one to work.
Yes, ma'am. Now, don't you worry about a thing. I stand behind every set I sell. Any other instructions?
Yes, wear something green so you won't clash with the living room.
Thanks for the lift, Bill. I'll meet you right here in the morning in front of Trimble's appliance store.
Boy, look at all those television sets.
Television is certainly wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, they're okay if you like television. I don't happen to care for it.
Well, now, you let me give you a tip. Go on in and see Trimble. He's a peach of a fella. He'll even send you out a set to see how you like it.
No, I wouldn't be interested.
Wouldn't cost you a thing for a week's trial. It's free.
Free? Well, it might make Liz happy, and there's another football game tonight.
My name happens to be Trimble, friend. Now, where shall I send the set?
George Cooper, 321 Bundy Drive. What's the matter?
Funny, I don't know you, but that name has a familiar ring to it. Well, I'll have it out tonight. 8 o'clock, all right?
Oh, fine. No, this will be a wonderful surprise for Liz.
Come on, Rudolph. I want to get to the market. This is no time for window shopping.
Wait a minute. We should have bought our television set here at Trimble's. His prices are cheaper.
Really?
Television is certainly wonderful.
I beg your pardon?
Let me give you a tip. Go in and see Trimble.
No.
You can take the set home for a week's demonstration. Free.
We have a set.
Oh, too bad. Any setless friends?
Free. Iris, what about George Boy?
That's it. Send one to George Boy.
I feel responsible for the bad impression he got last night. We really owe it to George Boy, and it won't cost anything.
I'll send out a set tonight. What's George Boy's other name?
Cooper.
One television set to Cooper George Boy.
No, that's George Cooper Boy. George Cooper.
George Cooper?
You know him?
No, not personally. But I think he's opening up a chain of bars here and there.
No, that must be someone else. This fellow lives at 321 Bundy Drive.
Well, come on, Rudolph. I've got to get to the market.
Be sure that set gets out there tonight.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't worry, though. Three sets to George Cooper. Who does he think he is? He's going to get one set and like it.
A good dinner, Liz.
Say, what time is it?
8:05. Why?
You don't want to go anywhere tonight, do you, dear?
Oh, no. Maybe you'd like to...
No, not at all.
No, I just want to stay right here in my own little home with my own little husband and sit on your own little lap.
That's just what I want to do.
Well, we both can't get on. Come on, make a lap, George. There. Kiss me. Was that the doorbell?
I didn't hear anything. That was the doorbell. I'll get it.
Oh, you could at least have let me get off first. I'll answer it, George.
No, I'll answer it.
But I'm expecting something.
I'm expecting something, too.
But I ordered something sent out tonight.
Ordered something sent out tonight, too.
Liz, girl.
George, boy.
Well, this must be your package, George. I didn't order the Atterbury.
Neither did I.
So we aren't on the invoice. Will you ask us in anyway?
Oh, sure, sorry. Come on in.
What's new, Liz?
Nothing.
I guess it didn't arrive yet.
What?
No, nothing. What's on the... Oh, I forgot you don't have television. Too bad you can't see your way clear toward getting one, boy.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Was that the doorbell?
No, I was clearing my throat.
What have you been eating, bell peppers? It was the doorbell. I'll get it.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Yes?
Is this 321 Bundy?
Yes.
George Cooper live here?
Yes.
Did someone order a television set?
Yes.
Well, I finally get to meet my favorite group. Three hits and a miss.
Look, bring the set inside.
All right.
I'll help you carry it.
Hello, Mr. Beckett.
Hello.
Stand aside, everyone. Put it right over there by the bookcase.
All right. It's got a built-in aerial. Just plug it in and let her rip.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, how about that? A television set.
Yeah, right in our own living room. A television set. There it is, Liz. A television set.
Yep, a television set.
Well, I guess we settled that. It's a television set, all right. Come on now, Liz. Admit your surprise. Me? Oh, don't be silly. George is the one that's surprised.
What are you talking about? I'm not surprised at all.
You knew it all the time?
Well, certainly.
How'd you find out?
Well, I didn't tell him.
I didn't either. What do you mean you didn't tell him? How did you find out about it? How did we find out? How did you find out? Well, I had the set sent out.
You had it sent out?
Of course.
You did not. I did.
You did not. I did.
You did not. We did.
You did not. I did.
Maybe we are the three hits and a miss.
Well, I'm certainly sorry we bothered doing you a favor.
Well, you can't even order a television set without everyone hogging the credit.
Hogging the credit? Come on, Rudolph, we're leaving.
I'm coming. Goodbye. And I hope pigeons roost on your aerial.
Well, you're not going to leave the set here, are you? Take it along.
No.
Oh,
you'll take your hands off that set, Miss Atterbury. I had it sent out, and it's staying here. Leave it alone.
Oh,
help me, George.
No,
Well, Liz, now what have you to say?
Iris, you were right. This is the television set you sent out.
My Favorite Husband has been presented to the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 14, 1949 on CBS. A very telling broadcast in terms of the rise of television, which really hit the United States in 1948 and expanded far more rapidly than radio in its infancy simply because it was built on the existing radio structure. So television used radio program formats with added video. Networks were operated along radio lines, and the role of advertisers was never in doubt, and radio set makers learned to make television sets. And compared to radio's initial impact on the country, television's effects on motion pictures, sports, and leisure patterns were felt in less than half the time, making radio basically fade into the wallpaper by about 1951. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, a broadcast of the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, first heard on NBC on January 22, 1950.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Today is a big day in the Harris household. It's the master's birthday. Phil has just come downstairs, and Alice and the children and William are congratulating him.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Many happy returns.
Happy birthday, Philip.
Happy. Happy. What's happy about being a year older? You realize that today the mantle of youth has slipped from my shoulders and is being replaced by the yoke of senility?
What are you talking about?
Today I'm 30.
Come again, Wonga. How old are you?
30.
But, Daddy, how can you be 30? Last year, Mommy said that you
Phyllis, don't question your father. If he says he's 30, he's 30. You mustn't get him excited.
Why not?
Because it's not good for a man of 41. Well, there's no shame in getting older. I'm getting older, and I admit it. Why don't you?
All right, I'll admit it. You're getting older.
Daddy, Alice and me saved up and brought you a present. Here it is.
A present for me, kids? Gee. Oh, that's awfully sweet of you, buying me this. Wait a minute. I don't think this is funny, Alice, and it's not nice to let the children ridicule their father by buying him something like this.
What are you talking about? This is something you always wanted. It's a powder horn to hang up in your den with your antique guns.
No. I thought it was an air trumpet. I'm sorry, kids. Thank you very much.
Well, here's my present, honey. Happy birthday.
Gee, another powder horn.
No, this is an ear trumpet.
Stop kidding. Next year I'll need it, though. You know something? I've always wanted a pair of these powder horns. They're going to look swell in my den.
I have a present for you, too, Philip. And here it is.
Wow, what a big box,
Willie. Now, you'd better let me open it. The present is breakable.
Well, all right. But hurry up, Willie. Come on with it.
Tightly. I have to exert a little more strength.
Ah, look at that boy's muscles ripple as he tries to tear that wrapping paper. Here, let me at that thing, will you?
Now, let's wait till you see what I got, Philip. It's a modernistic piece of statuary.
A statue for Phil? Mm. Oh, no.
Ah, there. Well, I got it open. Now to get it to present. I get this junk out of here first. Tissue paper. Excelsior. This big white blob. More Excelsior. Tissue paper. And the box is empty. Willie, where's my present?
The big white blob is your present. Like it, don't you?
What?
You like it?
Heavens, yeah. Gee. A man's a fool to be without one of these.
I'll wear it always.
You don't wear it.
Oh.
Alice, how do you like it?
Oh, Willie, this is really something, isn't it?
Philip, this is a modernistic statue, and it's all for you. Why, look at the way it's made.
Somebody made this? I thought it was a fungus growth that attached itself to the box.
I'll explain the statue to you. It's symbolic, and it represents the human struggle. This white lump is a woman kneeling with her hands outstretched. The three globe-like objects in front of it represent the phases of a person's existence, infancy, adolescence, and maturity. And they're all groping for the staff of life.
Is that what that is? Mm. Looks like three bald-headed hobos fighting over a cigar butt. I can see the scars on that one fella's knuckles. Say, Willie, didn't you say this was breakable?
Oh, yes.
Well, don't stand there. Break it.
I don't understand you. You never like the gifts I give you.
Fine gifts. Last year you gave me a Mahjong set, and for Christmas you gave me a squash racket.
Well, I thought you'd enjoy the squash racket, but you never even used it.
I did, too. I tried eating squash with it. Stuff kept leaking through the hole.
Well, Philip, I know that if you study this statue, you'll get accustomed to it and you'll just learn to love it.
It's no use, Willie. Every time I look at it, I get sick at my stomach.
I felt the same way when I first saw you, but I gave you a chance. Now, look, Philip, I have a friend who's an art dealer. I'll have him come over and point out the fine artistry of this work. Now, I'll go in and call him right
now.
Don't
bother about it, Willie. Don't mind calling him. Oh, nuts. Alice, where does your brother find these things?
Oh, Willie means well. I hope you're not angry with him for getting you this.
No. Just to show him that there's no hard feelings, this year I'll buy my brownie cookies from him.
Oh, Phil, you shouldn't laugh at Willie just because he thinks differently than you do. Don't forget, other people have been laughed at.
Like who and what key are you singing it in?
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me, warning you that I was reaching for the moon. But ooh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune.
They'll change their tune.
They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how.
But ho, ho, ho.
We've got the last laugh. They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy, that's how people are. They laughed at me, warning you, said it would be hello, goodbye. But ooh, now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together. Darling, let's take a bow.
Oh, 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 oh.
Who's got the last laugh? I've got the last laugh.
Ha, ha, ha.
We've got the last laugh now.
Alice, how can I get rid of Willie's present without hurting his feelings?
Oh, Phil, you're not being very gracious. At least Willie remembered your birthday. That's more than Frankie did. He didn't call or send a card or anything.
Well, he's not the... I'll get that. Come to think of it, Alice is right. You'd think my best friend would remember that at least it was...
Hiya, Curly. Happy birthday.
Frankie. You remember. Oh, how'd you know it was my birthday?
I got your telegram this morning reminding me.
I got a present for you, too.
Oh, Frankie,
and
now
don't tell me I didn't have to buy anything, because you told me that last year, and when I didn't, you laid me off for 2 weeks.
It was only 1 week, and what have you got me?
Well, I didn't want to spend a lot on something you couldn't use, so I'm giving you the money instead. Here.
Gee, Frankie. A $3 bill. I've never seen one of these.
They're very rare. A friend of mine makes them to order.
That's a novelty. Custom-made money.
Did you get any other unusual birthday presents, Curly?
Yes, yes. I got one from Willie. Yes, indeed. Yeah, Willie brought me one. Come on in. I'll show it to you.
All right.
Hey, will you see what the dove laid on me?
Oh, Philip, my friend will be over soon. Oh, hello, Francis.
Hi, Willie. Curly was just going to show me the present you bought him.
Oh, wait till you see it. Philip doesn't seem to appreciate it, but I know you'll be thrilled. Well, there it is.
There what is?
Right there in the center of the table.
Oh, what a shame.
How did he get hurt?
Francis, it's a modernistic statue. Isn't it beautiful? Look at those graceful lines.
Oh, it's symmetry. Where'd you dig this up, son?
What did you say?
He wants to know what cemetery you dug it up.
Francis, I'm surprised at you. Don't you understand the symbolism of this impressionistic piece? Doesn't the female form and the three globular objects represent something to you?
Oh, of course. Now I see it. Yeah, it's a dame leaning over a pool table making a three-cushion billiard chair.
Mind. We'll just have to wait until my aunt dealer friend gets here and explains it to you.
Hey, Curly, you ain't going to keep this thing in the house, are you?
Of course not. I'm going to carry it outside and bury it. Come on.
Yeah.
And the quicker I get this off of my hand, the quicker
just
that I'll...
Just a minute, Phil. Where are you going with that statue?
I'm getting rid of this monstrosity.
Oh, no, you don't. It's a gift and you're going to keep it. Besides, it's not a monstrosity. The more I look at it, the more I like it. In fact, I understand it now.
This kid's been sipping hot muscatel.
She don't look like a wino.
Well, if you look close, right?
I am not. Now, Phil, you give me that statue. Thanks. Now, I'll hold it over here in the corner, and you look at it from a distance. Notice the pure whiteness of it. The rounded lines and the way it...
I've got your groceries and... Miss Faye, why are you standing in the corner holding that bag of dirty laundry?
Julius, this is not dirty laundry. It's Mr. Harris's statue. What do you think of it?
It's a very good likeness of him.
Julius, you study art in school. Can you tell me what this represents?
Let me see. It looks like a human form on its knees, but the three globes above it are... Oh, of course! Now I know what it is.
What?
Mr. Remy in a pawn shop begging for more money.
It's not Frankie. Look, kid, although this statue is very dear to me, I believe in sharing my joy with my fellow man. In short, I'm giving you this statue to show how I feel about you.
Thank you very much. I hate you, too. What am I going to do with a sloppy mess?
That's your problem. Get out
of here. Right this way, Harry. The statue's in here. Folks, I want you all to meet Mr. Daniels, the art dealer.
How do you do?
Hello, Mr. Daniels.
Hi, Dan.
There's the statue, Harry. Right there on the table. What do you think of it?
Well, let me see. This technique looks familiar. By George, this was done by the modern Greek master, Clytemnestra. Not the Crokinolicus. Clyde Denophanus. Hey, did you hear that, Ram? This thing's a genuine Clyde.
This is quite a valuable piece of art. I'm willing to pay $1,500 for it. Who owns it?
I bought it.
It's my present.
But I'm holding it.
Just a minute, mister. I'm not going to let these two guys cheat Curly out of $1,500.
Mr. Remley, who does this statue belong to?
Me.
I can settle this. I have the bill of sale, and that proves I'm the legal owner. But I'm not selling it to you, Harry. I can get more for it at a public auction.
Oh, very well. But do me a favor. I'm having an auction at my place tonight. Put it up there so I can bid on it.
Fair enough.
Well, I'll see you tonight, then. Goodbye, everybody.
I'm getting out of here, too. You're nothing but a bunch of Indian statue givers.
I'll leave with you, Julius. There's one thing I can't stand. It's a crude exhibition of money grabbing that I can't get in on.
William, I'm surprised at you. Giving a gift to Phil and then taking it back because it's worth a lot of money. Shame on you.
And fie on you, too. I hope your next upside-down cake comes out right side up.
Alice, I guess you're right. I was overcome by greed, and that's not like me. Philip, you may have the statue, and whatever you get for it at the auction, you may keep.
Ah, gee, Willie. It's more like you. That's swell of you, kid. You're really a nice little guy, and I want you to
Philip,
know...
Philip, stop patting me on the head. You're hitting my soft spot.
Willie, you just did me a big favor, so I'm going to do you an even bigger favor.
You're going to give me the statue?
No, I'm going to sing to you.
This is a favor?
Of the morning, out on the job, worked like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old nothing to do but rule around heaven all day. Show me that river, take me across, wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old song, give me nothing to do but rule around heaven. Job work like the devil for my pay, while that lucky old son got nothing to do but rule around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, wet till I'm wrinkled. But that lucky old son, he ain't got nothing to do but rule around heaven all day. Good Lord above, can't you know I'm pining? Tears all in my eyes. Send down that flower with a silver. Take me across,
me to come down to this auction?
Because we can do Mr. Harris a favor. Willie took advantage of him, and, well, you know how Mr. Harris is. He's a babe in the woods.
I know he is, but what's that got to do with it?
Well, being a babe in the woods...
Oh, babe in the woods. I thought you said aged in the woods.
Well, Willie owns the statue, and when he has it auctioned off, it's up to us to see he doesn't get much for it.
We louse up the bid, huh?
That's right. All we have to do is...
Hey, Remley. Oh, good. You got Julius with you, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I want you two guys to do me a favor. See, I'm auctioning off this statue.
You don't have to tell us what to do, Curly.
No?
That's why we're here. To help you.
Yeah. We got it all figured out, Mr. Harris. You just start the auction and leave the rest to us.
Oh, swell. Okay, thanks, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to offer for auction this beautiful piece of statuary.
Is that the statue you were telling me about, Harry?
That's the one. It's worth $2,000 easy.
$2,000? You guys is a couple of pikers. That statue's worth $10,000 of anybody's money.
Glad to hear you feel that way about it, son. Now, gentlemen, let's start the bidding. What am I offering? $1.35.
Sold to Mr. Harris for $1.35.
Wait a minute, Remley. Come here. What are you trying to do?
We're helping you.
Well, if you want to help, start with $1,000 and stick to it.
But, Curly...
Don't argue. Just do as I tell you now. All right now, gentlemen. I'm ready to hear your offers. What am I bid for this beautiful statue?
$2,000.
$3,000. $1,000. Nice going, Frankie. You're going in the wrong direction, but nice going. No wonder you didn't bid
$500.
How do we get back to that? It seems to me I heard somebody offer $3,000.
I did. $3,000.
$4,000.
$1,000.
$5,000.
$6,000.
$1.35.
Hey, son, come over here and bring your friend, the one with a baggy pants face.
Well, Curly, we doing a good job of ruining Willie's sale?
Willie's sale? Frankie, Willie gave the statue back to me. It's my sale. Don't you understand? Now, I'll tell you what. If you and Julius bid it up high enough, I'll split it with you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, gentlemen, what was the last bid?
I bid $6,000.
$7,000.
$3 million.
$7,000 to $3 million? I could have sworn there were some numbers in between.
Harris, $8,000 is my last offer. Take it or leave it.
Do I hear more? $8,000 once, $8,000 twice, sold for $8,000.
Statue.
No, no, $8,000 smashed to pieces. Now I won't get a nickel for it. Julius, this is all your fault. This wouldn't have happened if you didn't start off with that ridiculous 35-cent bid.
That ain't what I bid.
What did you bid?
$1.35.
Sold to the boy with a slow leak in his head.
There's a friend of yours here to see you.
Hello, Phil.
Well, if it ain't Bob McLaughlin, one of Hollywood's leading disc jockeys.
Hey, Bob. Yeah.
Hey,
What's on your mind, Robert?
Well, I have some great news for you, Phil. As a result of reports from my Rexall record shows all over America and my fellow disc jockeys, your victory recording of The Old Master Painter, with music arranged by Walter Scharf, places you on top of the list as America's newest male vocal sensation.
Julius, keep out of there.
Phil, this scroll is our way of saying thank you, and we hope that you'll bring us another victor in a song real soon.
Ah, thank you, Bob McLaughlin. And incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, Bob McLaughlin has done over 350 15-minute programs all over the country for Rexall. And Bob, to you and all the disc jockeys all over America, for this vote of confidence, I want to thank you. And also to our listeners for accepting this song from Filsy. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast was John Stevenson. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 22nd of January, 1950, on NBC. And that does it for this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.